Where can people register to vote?
Where can people register to vote?
I know, but we, you know, let's tell the people.
I open up my phone and it's screaming at me.
You know, I seen that they had it on Snapchat and stuff.
Yeah, I mean, I saw it on the Instagram banner, Facebook banner, but I mean, I don't know if I would if that's like the best destination to go to. I mean, I guess Board of Elections, you can always go to like a local representative if you need help assisting community organizations. I know that they're registering people. Citizen Action can definitely help people with that. Yeah, I know that registering to vote is kind of like people need the extra level of assistance with it. So although we are seeing it on social media, I think the best way is like bring a friend and, you know, get help with a friend.
And I guess my social media response has like, you know, some sort of privilege to it as well, because not everyone's opening up their phone and seeing these things on Instagram and Facebook. So I guess my response to that also is, you know, it should be at your community organizations right now. If you're not on social media and you're just working in local community areas.
And online websites are hard and difficult to navigate and not everyone has access to them.
I would then say if you're like local community organization or where you go to do, you know, something big in your community, if they aren't registering people to vote, ask them, you know, about that and bring it up in spaces where it doesn't exist. Because I think right now it should feel unusual to not be asked to register to vote, depending, you know, based on where it is.
I also think it's kind of like a thing I guess I've taken for granted because I've been registered for so many years that like, especially nowadays it's kind of like, especially if you're doing the work, you know, you're registered to do the work. So yeah.
Okay, how long do people have to vote
for today up until this election?
I don't know. The early voting I think starts like the second, isn't it like October 10th or something like that? There's some date. I don't know why I'm thinking that.
I think it ends the 27th, I think that's what I was seeing. I'm not sure. But
for early voting?
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But if you come to the meeting on Friday, we'll have all the information for you guys.
That's one thing we're excited about, go to that meeting. There's like the voting facts, like 2020, that they have like the thing going for. And I was like, good, I probably need this. This is wonderful. It's not easy to exist in a democracy all the time, you know? The answers aren't so clear.
Okay, so how do you guys feel about social media contributing to distributing misinformation and as well as race baiting people and people falling for it at that?
Yeah, I mean, especially someone who's like studied communications and media in general, it is just so disheartening. We just watched The Social Dilemma on Netflix, and that was like a whole nother level of privacy that, you know, that's worthy of a watch and getting tapped into. But just as far as like fake news being spread on social media, I mean, I think everyone's got to have media literacy at this point. Like we have to like teach ourselves to, we need media literacy. We need people to, unfortunately, yes, it should be up to our government, but if we realize that if we wait for our government to do something, it's never going to happen. So kind of we have to take the first steps. And right now, I mean, I think these steps need to really be leaps at this point, but we need to, you know, recognize fake news when we see it. That's the headlines, clicking on the headlines, analyzing the headlines, looking for a byline. Who's the author that wrote this? What date was it published?
This is part two of a two-part segment for the People's Perception Project.
These are all, you know, looking just for key factors of credible sources. If the headlines look like they're sensationalized, like these are all things that everyday people need to recognize. And then I also think another thing, you know, after coming off of watching The Social Dilemma, is just limiting our time on social media and kind of going back to old school news of talking to your neighbors. Because I think that, you know, what's really happening with social media is that, you know, billionaire trillionaires are really taking advantage of us. They're taking advantage of the vulnerability of our internet and our security services and people that do not have our best interests at heart. They do not care if we have the right news. They care about making money. So I think, you know, what's happening with social media is extremely unfortunate because they are great tools that can be used for good. But until we get our hands on them and we learn how to, you know, kind of use them, they're going to continue to manipulate and, you know, infiltrate our democracy in a way that doesn't benefit all people.
And, you know, add on to that, like, to, like, solution-based thinking, I guess. You know, like, I really think a switch to more, you know, genuine local politics could help, you know, eliminating the social media issues and everything. Because a lot of the stuff that we're seeing on social media are all about national issues, social issues across the nation, and everything like that. And that's coincided with the rise of social media, the downfall of local news and local journalists, and people being able to understand what's happening at their town hall meetings, and everything like you're saying with fake news and race baiting, all these types of things. We're not getting to the real issues that are affecting us at local issues as much. And we're focusing on, you know, the larger issues across the country that are affecting us, but we're not handling the things around us. So, you know, I think stepping away from social media and focusing on our local governments and our local issues together as a community could really benefit, because, you know, the danger to these social media and fake news and everything like that is we have this false sense of community, and it's a community that we've curated and created around us, and it becomes a bubble that we continue to scream into, but we're ignoring the community around us, which is our local community.
And when we're in such a targeted bubble like that, and, you know, a close corners, we make ourselves easy targets. And that's what we're kind of seeing with ads that are, like, you know, strangely appropriate to me. So I think that if we kind of, you know, also we can take all our privacy settings off our phones. Those things too would probably help combat that.
Okay. How can we make voting easier for inner city communities to commute to safely, you know, with the virus going on?
I mean, one thing that's coming to my head is, like, why do we, I mean, first of all, we need to go to the polls. So I'm not going to pose a question like, what do we even need to go there? But, you know, like, we do need to get people to polls safely. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think it really takes a help and an effort from the local government to want their people to vote and to think through it. You know, like, it's crazy that it comes down to community organizations to get the community to vote when we're paying tax dollars in these areas. It's the responsibility of the people that are running these towns, running these areas, to get the buses, to clean the buses, to organize a schedule, to do a, like, we can do, like, what is that, Schedule Monkey? You just fill in what times you're available. Yeah. You know who's available. Like, there are solutions to it, you know? It's just a matter of, like, do the people that we pay our tax dollars to want to resolve it and take the time to resolve it?
Right, and you know, with kind of, like, a sense of urgency now, it's like, to answer Eric's question, no. Like, people do not want marginalized folks to vote. That's, you know, kind of why we're getting involved in these conversations with the NAACPs and such, is because they historically don't want us to vote. So I would say, like, now, I mean, the one thing that everyone has been saying is that, like, ask someone their voting plan. And I think that's a good one. I mean, my sister is, like, the leader of the voting in the household. So she makes sure, she'll put us in a group chat, make sure we're all, like, at the same place. We're meeting here at this time together. We make it, like, a family event and go. And, like, I vote in Oñanta.
I know
my voting plan. Thanks to my sister, she makes sure that everyone goes out. But I think that's kind of, like, the one thing that we can all do right now. We're not going to be able to, like, change the sidewalks to make them more accessible or make the polls more accessible by this election. I mean, we tried to do stuff like that. But I think what the most immediate thing is, you know, giving people rides, making sure people are registered to vote, and then, you know, creating a plan to vote, and then, you know, holding people accountable to actually go through with that plan.
And if someone's unable to vote, make a big stink about it so it doesn't happen in the next election. And I know that keeps happening, but that's all I got to say that.
Okay, and what should we bring to the ballot box?
I mean, I guess your ID. I think, you know, like, New York and New Jersey technically don't have voter ID laws, but I know
people,
like,
ask,
yeah,
for,
like, I was ask. Always asked for my ID and everything, so I always make sure I have my ID when I go.
I would say two forms of ID. Bring two forms of ID with you to vote.
And maybe some water if there's lines. Who knows? Been hearing something about lines at polls. Who knows about that?
Oh, definitely. There was a line in 2016. I remember. Okay. Can citizens enforce voter laws such as voter fraud? And what do you think about that? Do you think that should be a thing?
So laws to prevent voter fraud?
No, like, should they be able to be at the polls and be like, oh, they're doing voter fraud and trying to stop it? You know what I'm saying? Like, let's say Trump supporters are at the polls and they're like, oh, that's fake ballots, and, like, that's fake vote. Like, do you think that should be valid, or?
I mean, okay, so I'll say, that's a good question.
It stumped you.
No, you did, because it's especially hard when you don't trust your government, because you're like, you know, ideally I would say, well, we don't need other people, especially Trump supporters, saying that there's voting fraud, because, you know, the people that are there are going to do the right thing.
Yeah, hell no to citizen militias. I'm just going to say that real quickly.
Well, yeah, that can follow
me. But that's what I'm thinking of when I hear, you know,
right, but my main thing is, okay, if I want to do something, then I have to be willing to give someone else the opportunity to do it too. Mm-hmm. Like, my sister's registered as an independent, and before we like knew what all the rules were and everything, like, she wasn't allowed to vote. So our first thing, obviously, especially as Black women, is like, you know, is this voter suppression? So I remember that moment, in that moment, me wanting, or me finding it necessary to stand up for her, and me finding it necessary to argue along with her, because that is a very serious thing. So just because I don't want a Trump voter to be able to come behind me and say this is voting fraud, I still think that I would take that, just because I want my freedom and ability to do that as well. I think everyone has the right to defend, you know, their freedom, which is voting. And at the end of the day, we can't wait for somebody else to say that they're going to control, you know, what is right and wrong. Like, so I would say at the end of the day, yes, people should be able to, even if you're a Trump supporter, you should be able to stand up for what you think this America is.
Mm-hmm.
But Eric, go ahead, hit it with the militia thing.
Well, no, but not that. I mean, like, I don't think anyone should stand up to anyone for voter fraud in this. I think we have systems for voting, and I think we have to trust these systems for voting with no restrictions. The reason I see,
fraud is voter suppression, though.
Well,
this is about voter suppression.
No, but what I'm saying is, like, if somebody's being able there to call you out for voter fraud, that's what this is, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, so someone being able to call you out for voter fraud.
My answer was for voter suppression.
I'm saying...
That was the first question.
I thought you were saying if you can stay... Would you want to be able to stand up and fight first if you feel like this is voter suppression?
Oh, no. I'm saying, like, if people are at the polls and they're claiming that you are doing this and you're really not, like, should that even be a thing?
Oh, no. So, I'm saying no to that because any sort of restrictions or someone saying no is only going to affect the most vulnerable people. So any sort of thing that comes in to say this person can say no to you, I'm going to say no to that. Let's let it happen and build a system where this fraud doesn't happen. You know what I mean? Like, and also when it comes to the, you know, the things that they're calling voter fraud, you know, the ID is not a, you know,
legitimate concern.
It isn't. You know, the data shows that it was over what, like 20 billion votes, 384 people committed voter fraud through going to a poll. It's an exhausting process to do fraud in that way. And that's the only way I could see fraud becoming into an existence and people trying to stop the fraud if there are people at the polls.
Okay, and lastly, how can the people get involved with your organization and how can they get in touch with you guys?
All right. I mean, really what we're, you know, they can go to our website, peoplesperceptionproject.com. And on their website, they can sign up for our email list right now. Our website's going to be launching soon. But if they want to get involved, if they are a journalist who's looking to, you know, disrupt dominant culture in their newsroom, if they're an educator or a student or an administrator or a parent who wants to disrupt dominant culture in their classroom or the education system, if they're a community member and they think their voice needs to be heard in either of these spaces, contact us. We would love to work with you.
Yeah, you can either send us an email at peoplesperceptionproject.com or you can find us on Facebook, Sierra Sengedi Daniels and
Eric Casso.
Okay, well, it was a pleasure talking to you guys. I thank you so much. And this has been Asian correspondent Erica Dulcinea Diggs. Joined us today was Sierra and Eric, both co-founders of the People's Perception Project. Remember to go to their event at Let the People Decide Town Hall this Friday, September 25th at 7 p.m. To register, please call 518-272-2390 or find the event at Facebook/Media Sanctuary. Thank you, guys.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Have a good night.
You too.